This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The largest crane on the eastern seaboard has just arrived in Baltimore to begin the massive task of lifting the remains of the Francis Scott Key Bridge out of the water. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has our top story.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Navy are mobilizing resources to help clear the debris and reopen the shipping route. One barge has the capacity to lift 1,000 tons. It and another will also clear the channel in order to resume the search for four missing construction workers. Their vehicles appear to be encased in concrete and other debris.
Officials say the section of bridge trapping the cargo ship Dali weighs between 3,000 and 4,000 tons. A star-studded fundraiser in New York City.
We got three presidents in the building tonight.
Lizzo was part of the entertainment lineup as former presidents Obama and Clinton joined Joe Biden to raise what campaign aides say was $26 million for his reelection bid. Correspondent Caitlin Huey Burns.
It's a record for a political fundraiser, bolstering Biden's significant cash advantage, even as he lags behind Donald Trump in the polls.
Outside Radio City, a protest over the war in Gaza.
I won't be voting for Biden for sure, because, I mean, even if he stopped the war right now, just for what the Palestinian people have suffered, I can't.
The Israeli military says it's killed a senior Hamas leader trying to escape Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital. Despite ongoing tensions in the Middle East, Christians marking Good Friday in Jerusalem. Reporter Sabina Castelfranco is in Rome.
Pope Francis will take part in the Passion of the Lord service in St. Peter's Basilica in the afternoon, and then travel at night to Rome's ancient Colosseum for the Way of the Cross procession, reenacting Christ's crucifixion.
Today marks 1 year since an American reporter was taken into custody in Russia for alleged espionage. CBS's Peter King.
Covering Russia inside Russia has been difficult for American media ever since Evan Gershkovich's arrest at the Wall Street Journal.
We like to say that we do have a reporter in Russia, but he's in jail.
But assistant editor Paul Beckett says many reporters have left the country.
So Russia is being covered from Berlin, from Warsaw, from Dubai, from Tbilisi.
He says reporting on Russia is now harder but essential.
The Beehive is buzzing.
We want to welcome you to the Beyonce Cowboy Carter Act 2.
Beyonce's new album dropped at midnight. Critics love it, and yep,
Jolene,
she covers Dolly Parton's country classic. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Police in Rockford, Illinois are sharing more about four people who were stabbed to death Wednesday afternoon.
A 15-year-old girl, a 63-year-old woman, a 49-year-old man, and a 22-year-old man. Seven other people were injured, and Rockford's police chief says one of those is in critical condition.
Reporter Mark Remillard says one of the victims was a letter carrier for the post office. We still don't know the suspect's motive. Wildlife officials have found a dozen new viruses in Wisconsin fish, including a type of coronavirus found in walleyes. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources tests sport fish from time to time. Researchers at the University of Wisconsin say the fish coronavirus is a close cousin to a virus that kills birds. Scientists say people cannot get it. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Pelicans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a loss on the road, 107-100 to New Orleans. Doc Rivers says the Pelicans, led by Zion Williamson, are a tough physical team.
Give them credit. They're a big force turnover team. They're a big offensive rebounding team. I thought the offensive rebounds came from dribble penetration. Guy drives, you see in your big, it allows Valanciunas and the other guys on the glass. But I thought we did a better job in the third quarter of cleaning that up. We took care of the ball in the third quarter, got it down to what, four? 5, then we have 3 turnovers in a row, and bam, it goes right back to 10.
March Madness, Marquette takes on NC State in the Sweet 16 in Dallas. Cam Jones on facing NC State's power forward, 6'9", 275-pound DJ Burns tonight.
Yeah, we definitely know, NC State, the type of team they are, a tough team they are, a good team they are. We know what, like you said, what Burns brings, and we're not going to change nothing that we do.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
There may be a little patchy fog in a few spots this morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy today. We'll get to 48 for a high this afternoon, with clouds increasing by late this afternoon and a few showers possible overnight tonight. Our low tonight, 33. Tomorrow, cloudy, 46. Easter Sunday, mostly cloudy with a late day shower and a high of 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
Hey everybody, Todd Lobo, Friday noon to 2, talking to Brady Ewing and the Week in Review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Good morning, everyone. I know. He said Pat Breitloh, and this is Up North News Radio with Pat Breitloh. But Pat is out today, and he is out on Monday. He'll be coming back on Tuesday. I'm Greg Bach, his producer, his friend, his foil, his all-around good time pal. I will be sitting in for today and getting you some wonderful interviews Pat has conducted over the past couple weeks with leaders around the area, as well as just friends from the show. At 7:20, we have an interview with Representative Greta Neubauer, as well as Senator Jeff Smith. And it's Friday, so we're going to have Mark Jacob on the show as well. And then rounding out the show today, Dan Schumacher giving us all the local sports, and just a nice conversation with a fellow Deadhead. Fantastic man, Mr. Dan Schumacher. Now, before we get to anything else, I want to talk about the fact it is the Ride into Spring Text to Win statewide contest here on Civic Media. If you want to take part in that, here's what you need to do. First thing you need to do is you need to download the Civic Media app. It is free. It is fun. It is available right now where you like to download your app. Simply download that app, get it on your phone, then pick your favorite station, whatever it may be. I'm here at WAUK here in Waukesha. You might like WGBW, WIXX, MDX. Point is, find this station, make it your favorite, and then you're going to hit that text button at the bottom of your screen, and you're going to text us this word. You are going to text us the word WARM, W-A-R-M. To the Civic Media, in the Civic Media app, to us. And what's that going to do every hour at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., as well as 1 p.m. and 3 p.m.? That is going to enter you into a contest. And every hour, we're going to pick one winner. And that winner is going to get an overnight vacation stay at the Chula Vista Resort. And you, as if you enter, as well as the winners of those of those hourly contests, you're all going to be entered into a grand prize drawing for, we have some bikes to give away, as well as a 3-in-1 blender with some patio furniture. So enter in once an hour, once those hours at 7 a.m. with me. You're going to hear me again at 10 a.m. on Matt and Air on Air talking about this. 1 p.m. with Todd Alba and 3 p.m. with Maggie Dawn. So text to win. The word is warm. I can feel my smartwatch is blowing up with text messages right now. So enter in. All you got to do is enter once, and you can be like Steve from Hayward, or, Scott from Chippewa Falls, Rosemary from Eleva, or Bill from Milwaukee, who have all won the hourly prize. So listen to your chance to win that Chula Vista Resort overnight stay and more with the Ride into Spring contest statewide on, this is the WAUK, the Walk, 5:40 a.m. here in Waukesha. Before we go into weather, I want to say hello to the friends listening to on the live stream here. Mr. Roger Frost, one of our favorites, one of our regulars. He said, good morning, Greg. We're talking about earlier about songs in history. And I mentioned that Aladdin changed the landscape of karaoke here.
And Roger begs to differ. He does not believe that A Whole New World changed the landscape as much as the song Tequila by the Champs. I don't disagree with you, Roger. It's a very easy song. It's a fun song. All you got to do is stand there with the mic, let the music hit you, and say that one magic word, three syllables, tequila. So thanks for watching and thanks for listening, Roger. Rob Lehman up in Tigerton, he said, good morning from Tigerton. Sun is up, 20 degrees, calm winds, and I'm hoping for a nice day. Happy and blessed Easter for everyone. And yes, if you are celebrating Easter this weekend, I hope that if you are traveling, I hope you travel safely. I hope you have fun. And I think I must have messed up because Rob also says Cubic Media is the best. I must have, you know, sometimes I talk a lot. I talk fast. So Civic Media is the best. Cubic Media is a math program that I don't get on board because I am not good at math. So let's talk about some temperatures right now. We got temperatures from around Wisconsin. Chippewa Falls, you are at 18. Lake Wissota also at 18. Oshkosh, 24. Appleton, 26. Green Bay, 27. Madison, 23. Milwaukee, 30. And Waukesha, where I'm at WAUK, is at 23. So temperatures really haven't shifted. If anything, they've gotten a little bit colder. But, yeah, it looks like you're going to be wearing that jacket this weekend for the Easter weekend. And, Rob said, I mean Vivid Media. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to just move on there. Unfortunately, as if you were listening yesterday, you know that Brittany Merlot was not in. She's not feeling well. She's going to be taken today as well. We want her to get good and healthy for us for Monday. But she did send along a deeper meteorological report for us because it just gave you some temperatures there. But she said that rain is going to be moving in late tonight through the morning. And if you are north of 29, that rain is going to flip into a wintry mix and ice. And if you know Brittany, I call her DJ Flip Mix because she likes to use the term flip and mix. So if you live in the Northwoods, Friday night, tonight to Saturday in the morning, you're going to probably see snow 1 to 3 inches. North of Wausau, you're going to see traces of flurries in the south central area. And she actually says you should avoid travel early a.m. tomorrow morning because it's going to be slippery and dangerous in the Northwoods. So at Northwoods, friends, if you are up there, please take care. If you don't have to go out, don't go out. Stay in. Stay safe. Let things get salted, plowed, and make sure you travel safely tomorrow and throughout the rest of the weekend, of course. And then Sunday evening is going to be more rain as next system hits into the early week, beginning another mix of rain and snow. So we are in spring. We are in spring. We were in meteorological spring as of the first of this month. We were in official spring as of last a week. But winter is saying, you know what? You got off light in December, in January, in February. We're going to remind you of where you live. And that's right. You live in Wisconsin. Where are you listening to Civic Media? So remember, do not forget to text in the keyword, which is warm, from the Civic Media app for the Ride into Spring text to win contest here on the station, WAUK, and you can have a chance to win some fabulous prizes. All right, let's talk about some sports. Bucks fans, how you feeling? And I'm being serious. I'm not being sarcastic. As I said before earlier, I am not a huge basketball fan, but you know, I would really love to know your thoughts and feelings on this because, I mean, we're paying three coaches right now, and we're losing. I mean, what do you think the plan's going to be? I need my friends who are listening, who are watching, to give me your good thoughts on the Bucks because I want them to do well. I want them to win another championship. This team seems unstoppable, but they are getting stopped. So, you know, let me know your thoughts. Big congratulations to Wisconsin women's basketball team. They advanced to the WNIT. They're going to be playing Illinois State. And I forgot before, and I totally apologize, the Marquette Golden Eagles men's basketball team has advanced to the Sweet 16. They're going to be playing number 11 NC State Wolfpack today at 6:09 p.m. So that game will be televised at 6:09 p.m. as part of the March Madness Craziness College Basketball Tournament. And then for my Brewers fans, as I am one of them as well, we did not get baseball again because the Brewers game was postponed against the Mets. They are going to be looking to play today. So far, we've heard nothing of anything other than it's happening. So the first two games have been postponed today, 12:40 p.m. You can actually listen to this, folks. You want to listen on the radio? You have to listen to it on the radio, not the app, unfortunately. You have to listen to it on your radio. But today, Milwaukee Brewers versus the New York Mets, 12:05 is going to be that's when the program will start here on Civic Media. You can listen to it on WRCE News from the Center and Richland Center. You can listen to WRJN in Racine or Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and Park Falls. You can listen to the game today at 12:05. And also, I didn't mention this, and I apologize. If you are one for Wisconsin hockey, they're going to be playing Quinnipiac at 4 p.m. You can listen to that at locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. That's 97.5 FM or 1320 AM. That's today for Wisconsin hockey. I need baseball in my life. I don't know about the rest of you. Are any of you going to opening day? I'm going to be there. My friends, if you see me, if you're watching the live stream, you know what I look like. Hello. Hello, live stream friends. It's always good to know that you're looking at me in my well-lit office. But yeah, would love to know if you're going to be heading down there on Tuesday. It is election day. And one of the things I wanted to talk about really quick before we moved on to anything else is, yes, April 2nd is election day. We've been talking about it a lot on this show. We've been talking about it a lot on Matt and Aaron Air. We've been talking about it a lot on Civic Media because one of the things that's important to us is making sure that you know about the elections, you know about the process. And one of the processes is making sure you're registered. So if you want to do yourself a favor, if you have a chance today, even right now, go to a website called myvote.wi.gov. You're going to put in your information. It's going to tell you from the president of the United States down to your county supervisor, as well as your aldermen, can tell you who represents you, your judges, everybody in your area. It's also going to give you information on your ballot. You can see what's going to be up for elections. Whether it's going to be your mayor, whether it's going to be county supervisor, you're going to go ahead and be able to see, and you'll be able to do research on who you want to vote for. So you're going to go to myvote.wi.gov. You can also look up early voting information. We're getting closer and closer. So if you do want to vote early, you're probably going to have to go to your city, town, or village hall and vote early there. And then most importantly, and I think this actually is because this is the difference between what can be a 5-minute experience and a 2-hour experience, make sure you are registered to vote still. Sometimes, whether it's natural or nefarious, names get taken off the voter rolls because you moved, you didn't re-register. You want to make sure you're registered. It will tell you on myvote.wi.gov that you are registered. If you are not, then you're going to have to re-register, but at least you'll know that. Make sure you take your ID with you, make sure you wear some comfy shoes, and make sure you thank those people working at your polls because they are doing the good work, sacrificing a day for you to make sure you have a good and informative experience. So we are going to, we're all going to take a break right now. We're going to grab some water, grab some coffee. If you need to grab a snack bar or some cereal, do that. Because when you come back, you're going to be listening to Pat talking to Representative Greta Neubauer, as well as State Senator Jeff Smith. This is a wonderful interview we conducted. So stick around, stay with us. You're listening to Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network, because when you're here, you are up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It's been 5 years already. 5 years ago today, that then 17-year-old Billie Eilish saw her debut album open at number one on the album chart, giving us Bad Guy and other hits for the now Grammy and Oscar-winning artist. Hey, let's take a moment to appreciate that while the political environment is downright toxic in many places, there are also reasons for optimism, even enthusiasm, and you're going to hear that from our next two guests. We've spoken recently with State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area and Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer from Racine. They are both, to borrow a phrase from Governor Evers, jazzed as hell to be out there meeting and encouraging new candidates for Assembly and Senate, thanks to new maps of the legislative districts that end the rigged boundaries of the previous 12 years. We'll get to Senator Smith in a bit. First, along with Melissa Baldoff on a recent edition of our Climate Check segment, here's Representative Neubauer on the better prospects for a clean energy plan that can do wonders not just for the climate, but for our economy.
This package was born largely out of the governor's task force on climate change, led by former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, that I served on a couple of years ago. There were people across the state, various industries, backgrounds, who contributed to that task force. And we recognized that there was a lot that needed to be done at the state level for us to reduce our carbon footprint, to reduce our longstanding inequities, and to create good jobs, all of which are possible when we tackle climate change. This package is wide-ranging. It covers everything from investments in our schools to make them greener and healthier places for our young people, to supporting our farmers to adopt best practices, a green jobs corps, getting young people involved in the burgeoning clean energy industry. It is broad-ranging, as I said, and it recognizes that there are real opportunities for us to improve our lives here in Wisconsin by tackling climate change. It's not about scarcity. It's about opportunities. I think that's what we're seeing from the actions of President Biden, and that is how we understand our work here in the state. Unfortunately, Republicans have not moved these bills forward. But as you both know, things are changing in the state legislature. We've got new fair legislative maps that I think are going to prevent Republicans from acting like climate change does not exist here in Wisconsin.
You know, so one of the, you know, criticisms we always hear about, you know, investing in the clean energy economy and about, you know, I would say clean energy in general is, you know, oh, well, you know, they only want to put money into the cities and, you know, they only want to, you know, reward certain kinds of communities. But what I'm seeing is that these investments are really supporting all communities. And there is especially, you know, a good bit of opportunity in rural communities and in low income communities. So how did that, you know, how did that kind of knowledge help shape some of the legislation that you and your colleagues put together?
Yeah, absolutely. So we understand that in order to have the political will to pass policies that address climate change, they have to also make our lives better. And there are a lot of people in Wisconsin who are struggling to make ends meet. Those are family farmers, right, who may have owned land for generations. And the current context for that industry is that a lot of people are struggling. We have, of course, larger farms in Wisconsin and people who work on those farms who may or may not make a great wage because we're seeing economic fluctuations hit those industries, dairy industry, et cetera, hard as well. As I noted, we've got a number of bills focused on the agricultural sector. particularly trying to support our farmers to do what they have long done, which is be some of our state's best conservationists. Farmers want to improve water quality in their communities. They want to leave their farm in a good place for the next generation. They want to grow healthy food or raise animals that are going to give sustenance, you know, to people across the state and country. And it's hard. There are a lot of pressures on that industry. We understand that. And so we need to do what we can to support farmers to adopt those best practices that are going to allow them to farm in a sustainable way. And so there are a number of bills, as I mentioned, that provide that kind of technical support, whether through UW Extension or county conservation staff, as well as direct resources in order to implement those good practices.
Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area, town of Brunswick. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
You get that sense people are going to be ready to jump in sooner rather than later?
I've had a lot of conversations with potential candidates, and there's a lot of excitement, and which is overdue, long overdue. A lot of people have been holding back because gerrymandering has really discouraged them, but now people are encouraged with competitive maps. I don't even like to use the word fair anymore. I think fair is something that everybody's got their own view of what fair is, but competitive. That's what the state of Wisconsin was really needed, and the voters are really excited about, and candidates are coming out and saying, hey, I can do this, I can compete. And it's really exciting. It's helpful. It's helpful to the voters to have choices. It's helpful to the candidates to have to learn that, hey, basically we got to start listening to the voters, and we got to start working together with the colleagues on the other side of the aisle. Pat, you and I know what that's like when you have a tight margin. No matter who's in the majority, you have to pay attention to everybody and consider all thoughts and ideas. And again, going back to what happened this week and how they gaveled out so quickly, they're not going to be able to afford to do things like that and ignore some of the great things that the voters themselves really want. Look at the things that were actually passed in the state assembly, some by unanimous votes that we didn't even take up in the state Senate because we have just a few, maybe a handful of very radical Republican right-wing senators who stop really good things from happening. I mean, we got a bill, ROFR, that gets a lot of attention, the right of first refusal, so that our state utilities can continue to control the power in our state rather than some out-of-state investors. We don't want those out-of-state investors to take over. Can you imagine a Texas-like blackout that could happen in Wisconsin? We can't let that happen, but you know what? They chose not to take the chance because Americans for Prosperity were taking a stand. And guess who owns Americans for Prosperity, or who is the backbone of Americans for Prosperity? The Koch brothers in the energy sector out of Kansas. Gee, what a surprise. You know, but you brought up before I came on about the ballot boxes too. I mean, this whole, they're just bowing to this whole crazy conspiratorial fear that this group has. And I mean, I got to make a comment about those boxes. I mean, you know, do they realize that when a clerk opens the boxes and goes through those ballots, they have to be ballots that the clerks themselves submit or sent to a voter. They can't be copies. They can't be anything somebody just made up. You know, they're going to, if somebody's so silly and foolish, they're going to do something like that, they're going to get thrown away because they're not genuine ballots. I mean, people are so foolish about these things.
No, and it, and again, when you don't take concrete action, it allows that misinformation to continue getting spread out there. And then finally, in the couple of seconds left, Saturday nights in Wisconsin, Lawrence Welk versus Hee Haw. And apparently you held your kids, or were you held hostage to watch Lawrence Welk as a kid? Is that what I'm getting from this?
That's exactly right. Kristen and I were having that conversation before we got on air. Yes.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah. I thought Lawrence Welk was Saturday and Hee Haw was Sunday, but I could be wrong. Either way, again, only a couple of channels. You were going to watch them one way or the other. So
I know, anyway, your memory's failing you, Pat.
I know, but you are the Buck Owens to my Roy Clark. So thank you, Jeff Smith. Good to have you here. Minnie Pearl is coming back with us after the break.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Add grape growers to the list of farmers concerned about this erratic Wisconsin weather. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Friday. Ryan Prelwitz from the Ripon area is going to share his concerns next.
Prematurely yellow beans are embarrassing. So-called friends drive by your yellowed-up soybean field and snicker, thinking you should have followed your brother into the insurance business. This season, apply Soy Green, the best technology available to fight against iron deficiency chlorosis. Your friends will turn downright green with envy. Beware of imitators. No other product comes close to the power of Soy Green. Ask your local retailer for Soy Green by name.
Buds on grapevines across the state of Wisconsin are starting to show signs they're coming to life, and that's not necessarily good news at this stage in Wisconsin weather. Ryan Prelwitz is the owner and operator of Vines and Rushes in Ripon, and he says he's concerned about future damage.
To be perfectly honest, we're going into the spring, and I'm anticipating that we're going to see a very diminished crop or no crop at all, potentially. It's really hard to gauge what a year like this does. And, you know, this early of the spring, we know that we're going to get cold temperatures in April. Even if the, you know, soil temperature is warm, and even if things warm up pretty fast, we're still going to see freezing temperatures in April.
Ryan Prelwitz, owner and operator of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon. He said the only silver lining he can find to the buds coming out this early is that it will likely thin the supply of available grapes this summer.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
And on a brighter note, the Wisconsin State Fair has announced their 2024 Fairtastic Grand Champion artwork. It celebrates the 100th anniversary of the Wisconsin State Fair Cream Puff. Brookfield artist Jeff Sadowski's image and creative painting that depicts fairgoers making their way through the Grand Wisconsin State Fair entrance carrying beautiful rendered signature cream puffs is what will be celebrating that anniversary. According to Wisconsin State Fair officials, they will have the artwork available for purchase at the 2024 Wisconsin State Fair. All monies raised go to support the Wisconsin State Fair Park Foundation. And that is a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Friday. Don't forget more at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
There may be a little patchy fog in a few spots this morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy today. We'll get to 48 for a high this afternoon, with clouds increasing by late this afternoon and a few showers possible overnight tonight. Our low tonight, 33. Tomorrow, cloudy, 46. Easter Sunday, mostly cloudy with a late day shower and a high of 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
It's time to ride into spring by listening to this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000. Get ready to ride into spring. Civic Media, hometown radio, refreshed. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
We are back now on Up North News Radio on this Friday morning, as always, visiting with Mark Jacob about some of the media coverage of the week's events. And the media really was at the center of one of this week's big stories. Mark, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great.
All right. Well, look, you are one of the leading voices on this. So we're going to start, obviously, with Rona McDaniel, or Rona Romney McDaniel, former head of the Republican National Committee. NBC News announced that they were hiring her for some kind of an on-air role. That caused such a firestorm among on-air hosts at MSNBC that NBC eventually had to pull back the job offer. And as you wrote, MSNBC anchors are guilty of causing irreparable damage to Rona McDaniel's reputation by telling the truth about her. What was so special about her case versus other people in politics who go into journalism and newsroom jobs?
Yeah, Pat, you know, the right wing tried to pretend this was just like the Jen Psaki thing where, you know, she was Biden's spokesman and then she worked for MSNBC. The big difference is that Jen Psaki didn't conspire to overthrow a democracy by stealing an election. You know, so, I mean, to me, that's kind of a big difference. There's also this complaint that, well, they don't want Republican voices on MSNBC or on NBC, period. But that's not true at all either. But the point they were making was that Rona McDaniel was shown to be somebody who was conspiring with Trump to, you know, with fake electors and with the call she made, which is on audio tape, a call she made in Michigan trying to get election officials to not certify the vote, and, you know, in effect stealing hundreds of thousands of people's votes in Wayne County. She's a bad actor. It's not her opinions that got her in trouble. It's her actions and her lying also. And the idea that that NBC is going to hire somebody and pay them money to do what she does, which is lie to the public. I mean, it was just such an insult to the audience to me.
It brought up the times that we live in, that we're looking at your actions and not just are you representing, you know, one side or the other. Because look, I recall when George Stephanopoulos, you know, got hired by ABC and people said, well, he was a Clinton spokesperson. Can he get the job done? And time proved he obviously could. And the same could happen with Nicole Wallace, you know, on the Republican side. Again, somebody who had an opposing point of view, right, Didn't take part in an attempt to overthrow the government. And that's really kind of where the line is here.
Well, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but you know, I don't mind if somebody thinks that we should not have single payer health care or you know, has different opinions on any number of issues, even on the abortion issue. If you're opposed to abortion, and those are legitimate opinions for people to have. I mean, you may oppose them, you may agree with them, but those are political opinions. That's completely different from inciting a mob to attack the Capitol or setting up fake electors who did not get elected to steal an election. I mean, or the stuff with Trump stealing nuclear secrets. I mean, the idea that these are being considered political actions they're criminal actions. So you know, let's get our priorities straight and let's not pretend that everything is just a legitimate opinion that ought to be just tolerated. These are not opinions. These are actions.
And this all comes down to what's called access journalism, which to me, it just means you're giving a platform to a point of view versus not access journalism, but actual journalism, which involves reporting. And as Jennifer Scholz, who frequently writes about the media, said on social media, NBC needs to do more and better news coverage of Trump's plans, not give a platform to insider talking heads. A key theme you and I have hit repeatedly here, that make it less about access and more about reporting the what, not the horse race.
Yeah, you know, the thing about, and there were various right wingers after the NBC pulled the plug on Rana, they were saying, well, NBC is not going to get another presidential debate for 10 years. You know, they're threatening that. And to me, that just shows everything. It shows that the right wing and the executives at NBC at first were in exactly the same place, where they thought that politics was entertainment. It was all just a show. And we had to put fascist liars on because that's just part of the show. And the thing that people in the actual news business need to pay attention to is that their devotion needs to be to their audience and to the facts. I mean, they're not trying to make Republicans feel good. They're not trying to make Democrats feel good. And really, if they're doing their job, they're not going to make either one feel good all the time. They need to be devoted to the truth. And hiring Ron McDaniel to go on your airwaves and lie to people is not a regard for the truth. It's not just that it's no good for you. It is hurting your audience.
Yeah, and again, you know, when you hide behind the need to platform, and Cesar Conde, the head of NBC Universal, wrote that the hire was made because of our deep commitment to presenting our audience with a widely diverse set of viewpoints, particularly during these consequential times. Well, you just said right there, consequential times. Why are these consequential times? Because of the actions of some of these people who you wanted to platform.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and NBC and MSNBC came out in the right place, finally, after a revolt by their staff. But I think that some of the executives ought to be fired because when you look at it, they all signed on to it. They thought it was fine. Even the head of MSNBC signed on to it for a few hours, for part of a day, until she heard so much, you know, protest from her staff that she backed off and went with them. But just think about it. You know, the head of MSNBC, which is supposedly, you know, liberal and is sometimes, I think it's kind of what I would call it, is center left. It's not, you know, I mean, it's pretty center. But anyway, she thought that this was perfectly fine. And she in her own head, the head of MSNBC, Rashida Jones, she had in her mind that Rachel Maddow was going to have Ronna McDaniel on the air and they were going to both talk about how they were colleagues. I mean, I feel like the whole executive core that was making these decisions at NBC had no journalism chops. They did not know. They did not understand what they were getting into. Apparently, they hadn't been reading the newspapers or watching MSNBC because they didn't know that they were saying, sure, let's pay $300,000 to somebody who has lied to try to overturn an election.
When they could have used that same $300,000 for, you know, maybe hiring back some of the journalists that they've laid off to do some of the actual.
Yeah, send somebody out to actually talk to voters, Pat, instead of sitting in a studio and hiring some polling firm to tell you stuff that, you know, that you can talk about endlessly instead of talking about real issues.
And when you do that, go to more places than the same old diner,
please. Yes.
So I think part of the reason, too, that there was such a firestorm about NBC News is that it is still seen as one of the, you know, mainline traditional media outlets. When we have more media outlets than ever that are, you know, either exercising point of view journalism like we do at Up North News, you know, we're center left. We tell you straight up. But others are operating at the extremes or not telling you what they stand for. And that takes us to the story about the conservative network Newsmax. And the Washington Post had this exclusive that you put up that the Qatari royal family invested $50 million in this pro-Trump network. Yes, foreign dictators want Trump to win. I mean, there is no, you can't put up a wall around media. You can't put up a wall around the internet. Right. So when you've got foreign entities paying for the information, quote unquote, information that's coming into American TVs, you know, something like that deserves to be exposed.
Yeah. And that's Christopher Ruddy, a longtime bad actor in right wing circles who's doing that. And beyond media, the whole ability of foreign mischief makers to get involved in American politics is extremely alarming. You know, the Russians, you know, with the Trump campaign, the idea that there's no Russian collusion. Go back and look at it. Go back and read the Mueller report. Yes, there was. I mean, there's emails that show, you know, that the campaign was welcoming this and, you know, and shared polling information with Russian operatives. So that happened. The Saudis have been involved in things. The Saudis are part owners of Twitter, or which Elon Musk stupidly renamed X. But the Saudis are the second most powerful owner of Twitter. So, I mean, that there's just so much foreign influence that is should be alarming to us. And the Republican Party seems to welcome it.
And it gets worse. Trump Media, which only had $3 million in revenue for the first 9 months of 2023 and lost $49 million, but just had a merger with some kind of a shell company that gave $4 billion for this. Again, it's just got foreign access written all over it.
Well, and this, and the, one of the main guys in this shell company is a guy who owns part of TikTok. You talk about foreign actors, you know, that's he's a investor in TikTok, which is mostly owned by a, you know, a Chinese firm. So yeah, there's which a lot going on.
Explains Trump's flip-flop. He was for a TikTok ban. Now he's not anymore. Gee, what happened in the interim? You know?
Yeah, what happened in the interim? There's this kind of goofy deal in which, you know, a company that's completely lost money, Trump's company, and a shell company which hasn't done anything yet, but has a rich guy has put a bunch of money in, they merge. That makes Trump, you know, suddenly wealthy. And, you know, I mean, I haven't done all the, you know, the business. I'm not a financial reporter. So, you know, I would be hesitant to like to completely explain what's going on here. But I do wonder whether it's just an attempt to give Trump a bunch of money, but evade taxes, you know, gift taxes on it. I mean, you have to wonder, you know, what's going on here, but it's not what's at the surface level.
And it's got all kinds of people waving red flags about the possibility that it's a, you know, so-called pump and dump scheme as well, where a whole bunch of other people not named Donald Trump could lose money by investing in Trump Media. So a lot to follow there. But then Will Bunch notes, and you pass this along as well, that, you know, disinformation is much more freely available. You've got Team Putin, he writes, launching free fake sites like the Miami Chronicle, designed to post deep fakes and deception, while, you know, again, quality journalism is sitting behind paywalls. I'm not saying any of us know the right answer, but we sure, again, see something else that should be ringing alarm bells.
Well, what I think ought to happen is that these responsible news outlets, you know, and the sad thing is, and I explained this in one of my Stop the Presses newsletters, that I put news outlets in two categories, those that I think are generally reliable and I need for my information, and those that I know are not, but I have to monitor them anyway because I write about the media. But the ones who are actually responsible that we rely on for information, many of them are behind paywalls, as you said, and they're going to only to, you know, the 1%, if that. And so everyone else is left with this garbage, you know, on their social media feed from who knows where. I would like to see the really responsible, fact-based media drop their paywall on political stories. You know, you even do it for the last, you know, 2 or 3 months before the election. But they need to do it. They need to give people actual information that has sources, that has things attributed, that points to records, points to statistics, stuff that's not just made up garbage, because there sure is a lot of that.
Sure is. And when we're talking about garbage in the media, we're going to end spending a couple of seconds on Maria Bartiromo, who's over at the Fox Business Channel, how far she has fallen, that in the midst of the tragedy about the bridge collapse in Baltimore, she's busy speculating that this has something to do with President Biden and border security. We already say enough about not speculating during spot news situations, but to then add a partisan, you know, layer to it is just unforgivable.
She is awful. She's just terrible. She and others just immediately jumped on that bridge collapse. It was the Jews' fault. You know, you got that kind of garbage. It was that the pilot of the ship was vaccinated. That also was on social media. So as we just said, there's just a lot of garbage flying all over the place. People need to be smart. They need to look at their news sources. They need to assess who's actually, you know, displaying facts and attributing things and quoting people by name, not just sources. And people need to be skeptical, and they need to be smart about how they consume their news media.
Sure do, and I hope we're helping on these weekly visits. Mark Jacob, author of the Stop the Presses newsletter, thank you again so much. Have a great weekend.
See you later.
We'll have more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
All right, it's time for us to wrap up the week here, as always, with our friend Dan Schumacher, Athletic Director, Executive Director of Athletics for Northland College. Okay, Athletic Director versus Executive Director of Athletics. How much more stuff are you in charge of as Executive Director?
I'm involved with admissions heavily, along with parts of the fundraising advancement team. So, and then I'm on the executive team with the president. So,
okay.
Kind of a nice little fluff to the title. Yes. It wasn't my idea.
It was a little trimming. Makes it look good. It kind of zhushes it up a little bit here. Right. Well, you know what? Let me ask you while we're here, because it's not the world's heaviest weekend in sports. What with the Brewers already rained out for their first day here, but is athletic director, is that something that like a lot of people take at like college courses in sports management? Is that the goal, or is it more like a general manager of a team? What does that typical career path look like for somebody that they know they're not going to make it on the field, but they love sports and they want to excel?
You know, I was first enamored with being a coach. And staying after my football playing career, staying involved with the game and coaching. My parents were kind of directing me not to do that. They wanted me to go into business. They thought I'd be better in business. And because it's a competitive world, that some of the things that I learned of being an athlete and a coach in the beginning, that it would translate well into the business world. And you'd be much happier making a lot of money. Coming from my mother, who was a 40-year school teacher, didn't make a lot of money, but you know, she spent 40 years in a profession, and she just thought that they thought the best thing for me was business. Now, I tried that for a couple, 2-3 years, and it still wasn't the same. Got an opportunity to really get I was president of the booster club at Winona State, in my late 20s, and the president came to me and says, you know, you've got a business degree. This is the world of college athletics. The days of the old AD being the old football coach, the old basketball coach, it's now become a business position. So I was in the business of banking and involved with the finances with the booster club. President said, who signed my diplomas, both of them, said, you need to come work for me. So I made the switch from private sector finance to higher education and learning the business, and wound up getting a master's in education, as he advised me to do, to get more education in the exact business of running a school. And that's where it all started. And then, you know, I smelled it was like blood in the water. I knew that being an athletic director was much more suited for my personality, what I want to do. And as I tell a lot of young ADs, no matter where I've been, if you walk into the back of my closet, I can't play football no more. I can't do the physical things, but I can outsmart 7-8 other athletic directors in my league. That's my way of competing. That I either outwork them, I outfundraise them, I outbuild them, and then I outwin them. And that's in the end, that's what it's all about. And unfortunately, my life has been about winning or losing. And sometimes the losses are pretty painful.
I'll bet. I was just going to ask you about the best parts and about the headaches. So I'm going to start with the headaches first. What are the biggest headaches that any athletic director has to deal with?
Personalities nowadays. 30 years ago, you dealt with old school coaches. Nowadays, you're dealing with personalities. You got to manage the personality. You have to understand the way that person thinks, where they're from. Everybody's got different ideas, comes from different places, raised differently. You're constantly managing personalities. My basketball coach, when I have a conversation with them, is a different tone, a different pace than sitting down with my women's softball coach. It's just different. Before, in the old 30 years ago when I started in the business, I was similar in the old school thinking. So it was easier to get along with coaches back then. I don't know why, and it is, and I'm not, I don't even know how to even corral it in words, but it just was different. And the athletes had a sense. I was a recent student athlete. There was no way I should be involved with decision-making. Nowadays, you got to have kids involved with search committees. They're allowed to give their opinion on who we hire, things like that. There's no place for 18 to 22-year-olds to be telling an athletic director who they should hire as their coach. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like we owe them all these explanations nowadays, whereas the old days, they were not involved with any of that.
Well, it was a lot more homogenous. It was a lot more chain of command. And now, yes, people do expect more input at all levels, I guess. So but you're doing it anyway. What's the best part of your job?
Well, the people, you know, I do love walking down the hallway and sitting down for 5 minutes with a coach and just shooting the breeze with them and learning about them, asking them questions about their lives and getting to know them, because I really believe that that's part of the old school. If you can build a relationship with somebody and you build that trust, you get the most out of that person and vice versa. You get the most out of me. Again, I can't compete, but I can sure outsmart other athletic directors. And the other thing is that I can work my butt off to give all the tools necessary for a coach to be successful.
You know, earlier in the week, well, let me back up a step. A week ago, you and I talked about Northland College and the fundraising that needs to be done to keep the lights on, keep the doors open. We had a couple of great guests earlier this week from the community, from the faculty, talking about things. So just a quick check in. How is the community doing? Do they seem to be coming together and ready to meet the task?
I'll sidebar for you. It's been disappointing these last couple of weeks for me and where I thought we were going as an institution. They brought me in because I'm specialized in enrollment growth and sport expansion. We were on a right track between the admissions director and those admissions counselors and all of my coaches to hit a record incoming freshman class. And that was on our way back to recovery to get the school on good footing. When the $12 million number came out, it raises your eyebrow and it seems insurmountable. I don't know what I'm going to expect on April 3rd or April 4th when the announcement comes. I got a feeling I'm going to be spending for the next couple of days in meetings in Ashland, sure. how we're going to unroll everything, no matter what the outcome is.
Right.
It's been a difficult thing. It's been difficult to watch the community and the people that are suffering from it and nervous about life, you know.
Yeah, well, obviously, we wish them the best, and we're glad to get some information earlier in the week. And we'll just continue to monitor things up there as they come along. Dan Schumacher, thank you so much. Have a great start to the weekend.
All right. Go Cubs. It's baseball season. I don't have the Bears no more, so I'm going Go Cubs.
I thought I could cut them off there. All right. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great week.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
Thank you. Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The largest crane on the eastern seaboard's arrived in Baltimore to help remove wreckage of the bridge collapse. CBS's Chris Van Cleef.